Heavenly Father, may we hear your voice this morning. Amen. Here in Romans 8, Paul points to one central truth. God's love is as invincible as it is sometimes unfathomable. So this passage isn't first of all about misery or salvation. No, Paul first and foremost wants us to understand something about the tenacity of God's love for us as his adopted children in Jesus Christ. Yet we can't really appreciate that tenacity until we confront the human misery that sometimes seems to threaten it. Of course, most of us would naturally prefer to avoid suffering. So, those of you who have ever been seriously sick have probably had at least some people you know avoid talking to you. If anyone has been on the wrong side of the law or some other trouble, some friends might give you a wide berth, not wishing to associate with you. Who can separate us from the love of God? As Christians, we declare that nothing in all creation which will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul, too, looks into the mouth of a roaring lion that is misery in this text. He recognizes that the Christian life is not some kind of perpetual holiday. The apostle bluntly acknowledges that the Christian life includes sometimes excruciating and almost unbearable suffering, like the anguish of the Ukrainians today. Paul even catalogues some of the sources of that misery. Some of it, of course, Christians inflict on ourselves. So in verse 33, for instance, the apostle alludes to the guilt we have because of the sins we commit. In verse 34, he also refers to God's condemnation that people naturally deserve because of our sins. Yet, people and circumstances inflict other misery on us. Paul mentions things like trouble, hardship, famine and nakedness. He even dares to cite things like persecution and martyrdom that sometimes happen here because of Christian faith, and certainly do in the world. It's sometimes tempting to assume that such misery, even the misery of a Russian invasion, will have the last word, especially in a world that knows so much of it. At times such as these, when we can be overwhelmed by emotion, it's important to hear the words of faith, words which have sustained us through the good and hard times of life. We turn to Paul's words of comfort, which assure us that there is nothing, not hardship, not poverty, nor missiles, nor the unknown, nor death itself, nothing in all creation that will ever be able to sever our relationship with God in Christ. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can break his promises. Nothing can prevent God's purposes working out his kingdom coming on earth as in heaven. So we gather today in the midst of grief to rejoice in the victory of our Lord. We are at peace, surrounded by the love of God. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from God's love that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're experiencing God's love in church this morning. it surrounds us and accompanies us when we leave, even though we may go through the deepest darkness. We will not be afraid, for his shepherd's rod and staff protect us. God promises to go with us, encouraging us through loved ones and friends and by sending the Holy Spirit to minister to us and provide us with strength, comfort, and hope day by day. God's grace gives us a sure footing for living out our days, regardless of what happens. And surrounded by Christ's love, we can look forward to the future, no matter what tomorrow brings. God's love will be there to lean on, to rest in, to build in. As this knowledge of God's love gives peace of mind in life or death, it also gives comfort. For there is nothing, not even death, that can keep God's love from reaching to us and ministering to our needs. It's easy for people to wonder if things like this global pandemic and systemic racism or President Putin will have the last word. Cases of COVID are still the cause of death and suffering across the world. Racial injustice, prejudice, and blindness to it remain so deeply embedded in society, it's not surprising to wonder if we'll ever be able to counter its disregard for the two greatest commandments: to love God and to love one another. To love our neighbours as ourselves. What then, asked Paul rhetorically, shall we say in response to these miseries? First, in all our misery, God somehow, according to verse 28, works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. Somehow, in other words, even the suffering of those who love God must serve God's good intentions and purposes. John Calvin commented about this: all things happen which happen to the saints are so overruled by God that what the world regards as evil, the result shows to be good. Paul insists that not even the kind of suffering that other people or circumstances inflict on Jesus' followers, nothing can separate us from God's tenacious love. So no trouble or hardship can have the last word. As Eugene Peterson paraphrases in his Message Bible, neither trouble nor hard times can defeat God's redeeming love. Not even homelessness, bullying, threats, or backstabbing can drive a wedge between God's loving care and us. You see, in verse 37, Paul says, despite all these things. He's describing the everyday realities of life that threaten us, that weigh heavy on our hearts, that cause us to lose sleep and are difficult to bear. Notice that Paul does not say we are more than conquerors over all these things, as though to say that if we are faithful enough, these difficulties will never come our way in the first place, or we can brush them aside as nothing. We are victors not over these things, but in them. We do not lead victorious lives because we get spared the pain of this world, but rather, like Jesus, we find victory right in the middle of life's worst realities. That's why verse 36 makes clear that we face death all day long, even as we are all the time considered like sheep to be slaughtered. That's what we look like to this world, like sheep to be slaughtered. That line is a quote from Psalm 44. But in a New Testament context, comparing us to sheep at the slaughter is a loaded allusion to Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Lamb that was slain. As followers of the crucified Christ, of the one who was paradoxically glorified on a cross of all places, so we face death all the day long. We live cross-shaped, cruciform lives of sacrifice and service. We're constantly putting to death ego and desire for vengeance in the way of violence. We're told to turn the other cheek, to forgive 70 times 7 in a life that does not use a calculus of grace, but that exudes grace in wildly exorbitant ways, that loves unconditionally with the prospect of a cross set before us. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing in all creation. That's why we come to this place of worship in our anguish and grief. Here we thank and praise God for the life we have in Christ. Here we encourage one another with the good news that nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. And all the people of God shouted, Amen and Hallelujah, and praise the Lord, the King of Kings.